from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says Indonesia must be civilized in tolerance. Indonesia Monaco established cooperation in coral reef conservation. Now the news in detail. The Indonesian President Joko Widodo closed the implementation of Indonesian Cultural Congress that was carried out by the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. President Joko Widodo remarked at the yard of Ministry of Education and Culture's office on Sunday, December 9, that this a sense of culture is happiness. President Joko Widodo moreover added that people must not forget about tolerance in expressing their culture. Diversity without tolerance will lead to jealousness and hostility. Without having understanding and tolerance about diversity of culture, people will abuse and accuse each other. Indonesia and Monaco have signed a letter of intent on research and conservation cooperation as an effort to preserve the world's coral reef based on the press statement of Director General of Sea Space Management at the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, Brahmantia Satyamurti Purwadi, received by Antara News in Jakarta on Sunday, December 9, the cooperation aims to preserve sea and realize sustainable management of marine biological resources. The document was signed by Brahmantia Satyamurti Purwadi and President of the Monaco Research Center, Patrick Rampal, in Monaco on Thursday, December 6, and witnessed by the Indonesian Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, Susi Pujiastuti, the Monaco Minister of Internal Affairs, Patrice Salario, and the Monaco Deputy Foreign Minister, Isabel Rosa Brunet. Brahmantia added that his side would involve other stakeholders such as the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, the Ministry of Maritime Affairs, the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, and others to succeed the project. Through the Directorate of Technical Cooperation of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Indonesia has sent two agricultural experts to Myanmar to provide quality improvement training in the field. Indonesian Ambassador to Myanmar Izza Fadri remarked in a press statement received by Antara on Sunday, December 9, that the Indonesian government has sent experts to Myanmar to help increase the capacity of Myanmar in agriculture sector through training. The training was also aimed at increasing Indonesia's contribution in accelerating the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals SDGs mandated by the United Nations. The training entitled Dispatch Expert on Agriculture for Myanmar was held at Hugo Township, Yangon, Myanmar, and participants were expected to be able to pass on their new knowledge and skills to their friends upon returning to the area. In addition, the training was also attended by 7 participants from the government, academia, and NGOs engaged in agriculture, who will learn about cultivation techniques and post-harvest processing for leafy vegetable commodities such as kale, bok choy, mustard, cabbage, and spinach. The 2 experts sent from the Lembang Center for Agricultural Training had enough experience teaching and training farmers from various countries. The Indonesian Ministry of Cooperatives and Small Medium Enterprises, Anak Agung Ngurah Puspayoga, hopes the International Council for Small Business, ICSB, can generate export-oriented SMEs. It was remarked by Minister I. Gede Ngurah Puspayoga at the inauguration of officials of Bangka Belitung Province in Pangkal Pinang on Sunday, December 9. Minister Gede Ngurah said that there have been many associations that supervise SMEs or small-medium enterprises in Indonesia. However, ICSB would give more access for Indonesian SMEs to expand their products to regional and international markets. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian Embassy in Vientiane, Laos, held a cultural night event themed from Wonderful Indonesia to Laos Youth, as it aims to introduce the tourism attractions to the young generation in Laos. The event, which took place on September 7 and attended by around 300 people, received an appreciation from the Laos Youth Organization. Indonesian Ambassador to Laos, Pratitio Suharyo, remarked in his speech that the event aimed to intensify the relations between youth in the 2 countries, including through exchanges and joint events. As reported by Antara News, the cultural night itself was attended by Secretary General of the Lao Youth Union, officials and members of the youth organization. During the event, there were performances by Indonesian and Lao musicians, as well as dances presented by the Indonesia's Ministry of Tourism, which reportedly received a warm welcome from the audiences. Ambassador Pratitio also expressed his hope for the leaders and members of the Lao youth to be more familiar with Indonesia and grow fondness toward the country. Coordinating Economic Minister Darmin Nasution inaugurated the Special Economic Zone in Galang Batang, Riau Islands, over the weekend. Minister Darmin said that the new Special Economic Zone would lift economic activity in the region through the employment of over 23,300 workers. In turn, the minister urged the local community to support the zone by supplying it with the necessary skilled workers and supporting businesses such as food and accommodation. This year, the zone secured 5.6 trillion rupiah worth of investment from the zone's advocate, aluminium producer PT Bintan Alumina Indonesia. The investment includes 951 billion rupiah for a seaport, 1.65 trillion rupiah for an aluminium refinery, 196 billion rupiah for a dam, and 1.93 trillion rupiah for a power plant. The government has attracted investors using a series of fiscal and non-fiscal incentives exclusive to the economic zone. Bintan Alumina Indonesia Director Santoni said he hoped the investment in the economic zone will increase to $5 billion over the next 10 years. Meanwhile, construction is ongoing for 3 other special economic zones slated to begin operations next year. The last item. Engineering Faculty of Pancasila University hosts students exchange from both University of Applied Science, Germany, that aims to conduct research on bamboo. academic staff of Pancasila University Dedelia Zaryatin, who also acts as supervisor of Ricardi Babreske, the German student who is conducting research on bamboo, said on Sunday, December 9, that there have been many countries who use bamboo as alternative material for construction. Dede added that bamboo can be used for construction because it has endurance and lightness. Ricardi Babreske has been conducting research at Pancasila University for 3 months since October 2018. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says Indonesia must be civilized in tolerance. Indonesia, Monaco established cooperation in coral reef conservation. That was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is Human Rights, the Fundamental Rights of Every Human Being. Human rights are the rights that had been earned by someone since he was still in the womb. Human rights are basic rights inherent in human beings and are universal. Thus, human rights must be protected, respected, and maintained, and should not be confiscated by anyone. Some examples are the rights to life, religion, and belief. Human rights are so essential so that every December 10th is commemorated as the World Human Rights Day. The date was chosen because the General Assembly of the United Nations adopted and proclaimed the Universal Declaration of Human Rights on December 10, 1948. Indeed, human rights are owned by every human being, regardless of ethnicity, race, color, and religion. Even so, human rights violations still occur frequently, both internationally and locally in many countries. Human rights violations are forced actions to take away others' rights. Indonesia has already recognized the existence of human rights long before the United Nations adopted and promoted the Universal Declaration of Human Rights on December 10, 1948. This was stated in the first paragraph of the opening of the 1945 Indonesian Constitution, which states that independence is actually the rights of all nations, and therefore occupation of the world must not be abolished because it is not in accordance with the humanity and justice. Although human rights are recognized and upheld, cases of human rights violations have still occurred in Indonesia. This usually occurs because it is triggered by interracial, ethnic, or religious conflicts. In addition, human rights violations can occur due to separatist movements that attack the country's military apparatus as well as civilians. An example of international human rights case which is widely discussed is the violence against Rohingya in Myanmar and Israeli occupation of the Palestinian territories that had been going on since 1967. For both cases of human rights violations, Indonesia strongly opposes and supports efforts to resolve them. Human rights violations can happen to anyone and anywhere. It takes awareness and support of all stakeholders in upholding human rights so that citizens' rights can be guaranteed. Happy World Human Rights Day. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to meet you again in our regular program, Today in History, over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, we start for an event on December 10th on Human Rights Day. Human Rights Day is commemorated annually by a lot of countries, including Indonesia, every December 10th. The date was chosen to honor General Assembly of the United Nations, which adopted and proclaimed Universal Declaration of Human Rights Day, a global statement on human rights, on December 10, 1948. The commemoration has been begun since 1950, when General Assembly invited all countries and organizations which were aware to commemorate it. The next event was in 1957, when government established National Oil Company. To manage the oil asset, the government of Indonesia established a National Oil Company, PT Perusahaan Minyak Nasional, abbreviated Pertamina, on December 10, 1957. The company joined in Pertamina, becoming Pertamina in 1968. Strengthening the company, which was still young, the government issued Law No. 8, 1971, that included Pertamina as a state-owned oil and gas company. The last event is that 1901, the first Nobel was awarded in Stockholm, Sweden. Nobel is awarded annually to those people who have conducted extraordinary research, found technique or new equipment, or conducted extraordinary contribution to their society. Nobel is awarded annually every December 10th, namely the date when Alfred Nobel passed away. The award has been awarded since 1901 for achievements in physics, chemistry, psychology, and/or medicine. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku. My Indonesia.
Hello, listener. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with the daily segment My Indonesia, with the topic 55.5 trillion rupiah petrochemical industry complex spill in Cilegon. The petrochemical industry complex owned by Lotte Chemical Indonesia in Cilegon, Banten, with a value $3.5 billion, or around 52.5 trillion rupiah, was officially built. The construction was marked by a procession of laying the first stone by Minister of Industry Airlangga Hartarto on Friday. In his remarks, Minister Airlangga said that the petrochemical industry is as important as the steel industry, as the mother of industry. Therefore, a stable environment and business climate need to be maintained so that this project is successfully implemented properly. Based on its characteristics, according to Minister Airlangga, the petrochemical industry is categorized as a type of manufacturing sector that is capital intensive, technological intensive, and energy intensive. So it needs special attention from the government for sustainable development. He also explained that in the Making Indonesia 1.0 roadmap, the chemical industry has been determined to be one of the sectors that receive development priority to become a pioneer in the implementation of Industry Revolution 4.0. Therefore, the Minister of Industry appreciated PT Lotte Chemical Indonesia to have realized its investment by building a petrochemical industry complex with 100 hectare area. The petrochemical industry complex has a total production capacity of 2 million tons of naphtha crackers pressure, the raw material is then processed to produce ethylene, propylene, and polypropylene, and other derivative products which are also of high added value. The production of ethylene-oxide chemical in Indonesia is to meet domestic and global demand. The infrastructure development project is estimated to absorb up to 1,500 direct workers, and indirect labor can reach 4,000 in the period 2019-2023. This effort is believed to improve Indonesia's economy fundamentally by saving foreign exchange from import substitution, and will also be able to improve the trade balance. According to Minister Airlangga, the production of the petrochemical industry can support the reduction of imports of petrochemical products by at least 50%. He also hopes that the project will prioritize the use of local components, including workers who will be involved in this project. They must be prioritized from within the country. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news in brief. The Indonesian President Joko Widodo closed the implementation of Indonesian Cultural Congress that was carried out by the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Indonesia and Monaco have signed a letter of intent on research and conservation cooperation as an effort to preserve the world's coral reef. Based on the press statement of Director General of Sea Space Management at the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, Brahmantia Satyamurti Purwadis, received by Antara News in Jakarta, said the cooperation aims to preserve sea and realize sustainable management of marine biological resources. Through the Directorate of Technical Cooperation of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Indonesia sent two agricultural experts to Myanmar to provide quality improvement training in the field. The Indonesian Ministry of Cooperatives and Small Medium Enterprises, Anak Agung Ngurah Puspayoga, hopes the International Council for Small Business can generate export-oriented small and medium enterprises. The Indonesian Embassy in Vientiane, Laos, held a cultural night event themed From Wonderful Indonesia to Leo Youth, as it aims to introduce the tourism attractions to the young generation in Laos. Coordinating Economic Minister Darmin Nasution inaugurated the Special Economic Zone in Galang Batang, Rio Islands, over the weekend. Minister Darmin said that the new Special Economic Zone would lift economic activity in the region through the employment of over 23,300 workers. Engineering Faculty of Pancasila University hosts student exchange from both University of Applied Science, Germany, that aims to conduct research on bamboo. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you Maple Island in Rio Islands. Listeners, Maple Island is located in Rio Islands province. The island has not only beautiful scenery, but also historical sites. Maple Island is at the south of Lingga Island. Administratively, the island is at Maple Village, Lingga District, Rio Island province. Upper Island is well known for its tourism history. One of them is Fort Fortresses of Heritage of Rio Lingga Kingdom. The four fortresses are Hilir Fortress, Lekok Fortress, Tanjung Sigi Tiga Fortress, and Tengah Fortress. Lekok Fortress is located on the hill, and it directly faces with Buton Bay, which is at Lingga Island, and it is equipped with 7 cannons. Unfortunately, those fortresses are damaged and overgrown with wild plants. However, some visitors are still interested to visit it. Besides, there are some historical sites. The local people who live on Maple Island also become interesting attractions of this island. Until now, they still preserve shelter of Tanah Bunda Melayu. Every tourist who comes to this island does not need to rent lodging because the local people will be pleased to be visited by tourists who want to stay at night on Maple Island. Because Maple Island's residents preserve their heritage, adoptive parents, meaning every visitor who comes to their village is their kid who needs shelter. To reach Maple Island from Batan Bintan Island or Jagoh Dabo, we can use sea transportation at Singkep Port on Singkep Island every day. Thus, visitors must continue the trip by using speedboat to Maple Island. It takes around 30 minutes. That was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development and Cultivation Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Cuti Akhir Tahun or Year-End Leave. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about cuti akhir tahun. The conversation is between Tony and Joko at Joko's house. They are talking about the plan of Joko's holiday during his leave.
Akhirnya, aku bisa cuti pada akhir tahun ini dan awal tahun depan.
Syukurlah. Berapa lama kamu akan cuti?
2 minggu.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Awal, beginning or early. Akhir, in English, end. Tengah, middle. Berangkat, to go or to leave. Berjemur, sunbath. Akhirnya, aku bisa cuti pada akhir tahun ini dan awal tahun depan. Akhirnya, aku bisa cuti pada akhir tahun ini dan awal tahun depan. In English, finally, I can leave at this year end and early next year. Syukurlah. Syukurlah in English, thankfully. Berapa lama kamu akan cuti? Berapa lama kamu akan cuti? How long will you take your leave? 2 minggu. 2 weeks. Akhir bulan. End of the month. Berlibur. On a vacation or holiday. Awal bulan depan. Early next month. Liburan akhir semester. End of semester holiday. Tengah semester. Mid semester. Tengah malam. Midnight. Tengah hari. Midday or noon. Saya or aku, in English, I. Mereka, they. In the conversation, Joko said, akhirnya aku bisa cuti pada akhir tahun ini dan awal tahun depan. In English, finally, I can take my leave at this year end and early next year. In the sentence, there is the word awal or early and akhir or end. The two words awal and akhir can be combined with the word that shows time, such as minggu or week, bulan or month, semester or semester, and tahun or year. Let's follow some examples of using the words in the sentences. Saya akan cuti pada akhir bulan ini. I will leave at the end of this month. Kami akan berlibur pada awal bulan depan. We will be on vacation early next month. Sebentar lagi, kita akan liburan akhir semester. We will be on a semester holiday soon. Kamu akan kemana akhir minggu ini? Where will you go at the end of this week? Listener, in addition to the word awal and akhir, there is another word that can be usually used to show time, such as the word tengah. Let's follow the examples. Mereka akan berangkat pada tengah malam nanti. They will leave at midnight. Aku tidak mau berjemur pada tengah hari. I do not want to sunbath at noon. Pada tengah semester ini, tidak ada liburan. There is no holiday on this mid-semester. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Akhirnya, aku bisa cuti pada akhir tahun ini dan awal tahun depan.
Syukurlah. Berapa lama kamu akan cuti?
2 minggu.
Well, listener, there was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music. In today's edition, we will present you Keroncong songs. Let's begin the segment of Music Corner for today with the song Kerinduan by Dian Piscesa. Happy listening. was Dian Pisesa in her song Kerinduan. The song was composed by Panche F. Pondaak. It is a pop genre and popularized by Meriam Belina in 1985. The song tells about someone who feels lonely since the beloved one left him or her. This song Kerinduan was then dedicated by Dian Pisesa in Kroncong pop genre. The rhythm of the song is very suitable to present in Kroncong. Although known as a pop singer, Dian Pisesa also has talent to sing Kroncong. Listener, let's listen to the next song Sepanjang Jalan Kenangan by Didi Kempot. Enjoy the song.
Kau tamu, mamanya hati.
You've just listened to Sepanjang Jalan Kenangan sung by Didi Prasetyo, or better known as Didi Kempot. Besides being good at singing kroncong songs, the man who born in Surakarta or Solo, Central Java, is better known as the Campursari singer of the Solo City's Pride. The original song Sepanjang Jalan Kenangan was composed by Arianto, with pop genre and popularized by Teti Kadi in 1960s. This song was dedicated again by Didi Kempot with a kroncong genre. It tells about someone who tried to repeat the memories in the past by tracing the path that had been passed with the lover. Even though the situation was different now, good memories along the path remain in memory. Well, listener, to conclude today's edition of Music Corner, well, we'll present you the last two songs entitled Mengapa Harus Jumpa by Didi Kempot and Apa Salahku by Dian Piscesa. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.